This episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club is brought to you by our wonderful supporters on Patreon. If you're interested in supporting any of the shows in the Trophy Talk Network, like the Trophy Talk Podcast, the PlayStation Plus Game Club, the MoogleCast, and Surviving the Horror, go to patreon.com/trophytalknetwork. You can also join the Trophy Talk Discord for free, and it's where you can connect with our community, participate in special contests and events, and write into our shows. But your support on Patreon really means a lot to us, and we wouldn't be able to make this community what it is without you. So a special thank you shout out to Pat the Trophy Hunter, KingK6969, Against Me, Jordan Vickers, Gary Cooper, Diego Juan, First Mage, Super Hans, Faux Rambo, Ryan Wolven, Chaz Bilby, and Rob Stevens. Thank you again to everyone for your support on Patreon, and with that, enjoy the show. What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, a.k.a. the Portland Kevin. And like a book club, we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus Extra Library and talk about it way too much. This episode's game is Thank Goodness You're Here. And that is the actual title, folks. Thank Goodness You're Here. It was conceived and made by James Carbot and Will Todd as the developer's Coal Supper and published by Panic in August of 2024. Carbot and Todd created what is hailed as a love letter to alternative British dialects, Monty Python humor, and Yorkshire itself in this game. Though it is short, it is packed full of charm, wit, and enough gags to make anyone hoarse from laughing so much. So today, we're going to hopefully give the game its due attention, and if you haven't played it yet, we hope this convinces you to. So joining me to talk about it from the Discord is Faux Rambo, a.k.a. Ben, thank goodness you're here.
Kevin, thank goodness you're here. It's great to talk to you tonight. I have so many side quests for you.
Yeah, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. It's a nice, like, unseasonably warm day here in Portland. So just out running around with the kids and stuff. And now I'm having a nice cold IPA from the microbrewery down the street. Not actually having a room temperature lager tonight.
Nice. All right, well, we also have from the Discord, KingK6969, a.k.a. Kyle. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. It felt warm today here in Illinois at 25 degrees, because that's the warmest it's been in a few days, but I'm doing good.
Okay. Ouch. Well, I hope it. I hope you can stay warm during the winter season, because, yeah, it is. It's getting cold out there.
Yeah, no, we're doing good.
Yeah. So before we start talking about the game for the month, do you guys have any projects that you want to plug right now?
For me, it's just like adulting, trying to survive every day and raise my two kids and work. And I try to squeeze in some time for gaming where I can. But no projects.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the parents out there. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. Kyle, anything you want to highlight or shout out?
Yeah, my son just turned 4 months, so I'm with Ben there, just surviving. But I'm playing Epic Mickey Rebrush, right? So that's a good game. Go play that one.
Nice. Yeah, that's one that just came free on Essential, and I've been thinking about jumping into it if I have some time. So I thought that one looked really cute, and I kind of need one of those very happy and like very light platformers that just let me like not think for a little bit, but I love those, especially because like I don't have to worry about like characters or anything. I just like, oh, let's go find the puzzle piece somewhere. So shout out to Banjo-Kazooie that where you're actually tracking down puzzle pieces. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Banjo-Kazooie. We're here to talk about Thank Goodness You're Here.
Thank goodness you're here. I spied a shiny tuppence down this here runoff. But more fool me, my arm has become trapped.
Oh, hello there. there, young man. Thank goodness you're here.
Oh, thank goodness you're here.
Thank goodness you're here, lad.
Oh, hello there, young man. Thank goodness you're here.
Ah, thank goodness you're here.
Oh, thank goodness you're here, lad.
Thank goodness you're here.
Lad! Oh, thank goodness you're here. You better get yourself in here now.
So we're going to start off with some Plat shoutouts that we pulled from the Discord. And we got a lot more than we usually do. So I really want to thank everyone for playing along with us. Over in the Trophy Talk Discord, you can post your post a picture of your platinum that you earned for playing the game and write in with a question or a comment about the game, and we'll read it here on the show. First off, we have Lorenzo Lame saying, "Here, I got this one not too long ago. Not sure what references it had, but I enjoyed it nonetheless." So yeah, shout out to Lorenzo Lame. Next up, we have Super Hans coming in with, "Here's mine. Had a good laugh with this game. 100% looking forward to hearing you guys chatting about it." Another short one. We have Slugger JD, Josh, host of the Trophy Talk proper podcast. He just sent in a picture of his platinum, but shout out to Josh over there. We got Fate Prime coming in with a bit of a longer one, saying, "It's Monty Python dark comedy, but it reminded me of Rick and Morty's interdimensional cable smashed with 'Don't hug me, I'm scared.'" Don't know what that is. "Deep fried with a dash of malt vinegar. Really great palate cleanser, and I laughed the whole way through." Thank you very much, Fate Prime. He also wrote in a handful of questions that we will get to as we talk through the game itself. But yeah, want to give a big thank you to Fate Prime, aka Brady, who was here last month for talking about Somerville. So I do want to mention that Brady did have a plat streak going. So he is, I think this is his fourth platinum that he's come in. It might be his fifth. I have to go back and look at the like his profile, but I think he's been sending them in. And he may have done one for Sword of the Sea. He was the only one at the time of recording that did Blueprints. So shout out to him. And then, of course, he 100% did Somerville right before talking about it on the show. And, you know, he's continuing his streak. So it's at least four. Next time I'm going to prepare ahead of time and like count how many platinums in a row he has done for Game Club. But yeah, big shout out to Fate Prime in that regard.
Yeah, nice way to go for him.
Yeah.
Blueprints, that's like a combo breaker.
That was the big challenge at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And finally, we have both you, Kyle and Ben, playing the game. So shout out to KingK6969 and Faux Rambo for earning the plat here. Thanks, guys, for playing the game and showing your platinum and encouraging other people to do it. So let's move on to actually talk about Thank Goodness You're Here. I had no idea what to expect with this game going in. I heard from people that it was funny, that it was interesting and well written, but I didn't really know what the gameplay was going to be. Did either of you guys have any sort of preconception about what it was?
Yeah, speaking for myself, I didn't really, like, I had seen it kind of like pop up in reviews, and I knew that it was pretty well regarded and that it was a very British style of humor, which for me can be maybe a little hit and miss, you know, just depending on what it is. So I wasn't really sure what to expect going in, and I think it's really more forward on the humor and the kind of cultural, you know, investigation of what it means to be a Yorkshireman. It really grounds you in like a very specific milieu, or like very specific environment, culture, language. The gameplay is really just like, I think I heard it called like a slap former. So it's like the only thing you can do in the game is just walk around and smack stuff, and then usually it just gets dented and broken or something. And then sometimes it prompts some sort of interaction.
something happens after you've hit it.
Yeah.
In some like something that triggers something else to happen in the story.
It's like literally you have a jump button and a slap button and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And instead of an interact button that they could have done, they used a slap button. And so your character runs around, slaps everything and anyone.
And and your cue for like if you have gone through all the possible interactions and instead of talking to you, the people just start going like, ugh.
yeah that's your cue to move on,
right?
Yeah Kyle, what about you?
Yeah, so when I bought the game, I posted it in Repent Your Sins channel on the Discord, right? And Katie responded saying this game was hilarious, right? So I knew I was in for a treat because I'm all in on the Discord opinions, so I was excited as soon as she said that.
Nice. So, Ben, you sent me an article to read on, it was on BBC's website, and they talk about how this game highlights particular Yorkshire culture, and they showcase like pretty unique dialects that don't often show up in games, where like we often get British accents that are very well articulated and easy to understand. This game in particular is not, and I had to have subtitles on the whole time just to understand what people were saying sometimes, but that didn't detract from the humor at all. It's just that there were a lot of accents that I'm not used to hearing. And as someone in the United States, I of course I'm not going to hear a lot of these, and they don't often show up in any sort of media that I view. And I think it was great to just kind of get a very, very specific type of British culture here. Is that how you found the article?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kind of interested in it because that seemed to be such a focus from the two creators. Was the whole experience sort of being like a love letter to where they grew up in Yorkshire. I think the town in the game is called Barnsworth. And there's a real town called Barnsley. I think it might be backwards from that, but I just thought it was so interesting how it really grounds you in a really authentic representation of sort of like a part of like British culture that, yeah, like you said, it's not really represented in media that we see a lot in the US. You know, it's not exactly like watching The Crown, you know, or or something like that. And the game hits you right away. Like it gives you a prompt in sort of the Yorkshire dialect, like right at the start of the game. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It says something like, well, hold on. I should preface this by saying my goal coming in here was not to just do a bunch of really bad accents the whole podcast, unless you guys do them a bunch of those. But right off the bat, it hits you with, you know, like a prompt that's just fully in the dialect. It says something like, are you from Tarn?
Yeah.
Which roughly translates like, are you from Barnsley? And if you say yes, then like all the dialogue and all of the UI in the game is like written in this very specific mode of speech. And if you say like, what? then it kind of like translates everything into proper English for you.
Yeah, I jumped into the pause menu and saw that you can switch the language through different languages. And one of them, it just like it says English as one option, and then it just says dialect as another option. Yes. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, so I switch it over, and all the menus change in their words, and it's like, oh, okay, this is actually like there's slang over there.
For sure. So like instead of quid, it says like faff or something. Yeah. You know, like.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was so interesting. Like, I think media that I'm typically interested in, like a lot of it comes down to like the specificity of the people really like writing what they know or like where they're from. And to me, that's just a really cool experience in media, sort of being like grounded in this like real thing and these people kind of sharing this like authentic version of their culture that they clearly really love and want to share with people.
Yeah, it really lends itself to the realism of the area. Like it makes it feel like a real place. And the art style, the way this game is played, and nothing about this game is supposed to feel real. But that adds to the authenticity of it being in this character, in that like Yorkshire itself is a character. Kyle, like, do you have anything to add to this? Like in terms of its style and how it's rooted in this culture?
Well, I mean, I think it's really interesting that you guys are interested in the culture, because I thought it was just made up, right? Because it was so hilarious and it was so far-fetched that like something like this could exist. If this is a real place, I want to go there and I just want to live and laugh in the moment, because I mean, it was great.
It's not that this is a real place. It's that the humor here is real, in that like this is a style of humor that has come from this particular part of England. And like, this is, I feel like this is the root of, or you're seeing like something that grew from the same root as Monty Python. And that's why it was called out in some of those write-ins, where like, you know, I see some of this and it's like, I think to myself, oh, this is exactly something that Monty Python would have done. And my wife called it out too, where she's like, this is like Monty Python. And I was like, yep, you're right.
Yeah. And I think like, just speaking to like the place of it, right? I think that there is something that is important to them, that they're like distinct and they think of themselves as different than like sort of the Americanized version of what you think of when you think of the UK, right? Like, it's very like working class, very blue collar, and that, like, just, I don't know, just being like immersed in that sort of like version of the UK was really fun. Like, I liked at the very beginning of the game, once your character gets like plopped on top of the bus that's going into town and it cuts to play sort of the intro credits and stuff, it actually shows real footage.
Yeah. So yeah. And
like, oh yeah, this is a real place. It's like,
yeah.
It's very like what you think of as like maybe like the 60s or the 70s. And there's like a bunch of coal mines.
Yeah. It looks almost like it's like a tourist commercial, like it's a destination commercial where like it was advertising Barnsworth as a place to go, and like this is great. What was really funny though,
that was one of the things that they put in the little pitch. It's like romance, family, pit. And the pit is
just like visit Barnsworth.
Yeah, we don't have a lot going on really, but. We alluded to this at like it not being real, of course, but or looking real, but the style of this game, it looks like it's almost like it is definitely cartoon, but it is one of the best looking, or like I feel like one of the most authentic looking cartoon games that I've played, where I've played other games that like are supposed to be cartoon like, and you can kind of tell that they're just not quite there as far as the animation style goes, where it's like, oh, that's still like something that is animated as a game rather than like an animated TV show. I feel like this one gets really close to looking just like a TV show most of the time. And it's just in the way your character moves. It's the way other characters move and speak. There are certain scenes where
certain things happen and your character is still, you're still in control of your character, but you're not, it's not from an angle that would remind you it's a game. It's from an angle that looks like it should be part of a cartoon. And of course there are cutscenes that have different angles that don't involve your character, and they're just focused on someone else in the game. And those cutscenes and those angles specifically do feel like a cartoon. I feel like this one in particular, though, the animation style and the graphic style make it feel extremely close to a cartoon rather than a video game. I loved that about this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, I didn't really appreciate it while I was playing. I thought it looked good, but I didn't really think about it too much. But I think, like, the really, like, very pared down simplicity of the gameplay probably, like, allowed them to hone in on making, like, the presentation really, like, support the humor and the narrative that they were going for. Like, it's very surreal. Yeah. Like you, like, kind of alluded to, like, your character is this kind of tiny little guy, like, running around this town, and you might go from one room into another one, and all of a sudden, like, your character's even tinier. Like, your character's, like, the size of, like, a rat. And, like, the character you were just talking to is now, like, giant, you know? Or you, like, get, you know, pulled into some weird, you know, like, the rat version of the supermarket, or Mouse Shaggers, or Mice Shaggers, or whatever. So I just think, like, the animation, to me, like, I guess I just don't, I didn't notice it as much while playing, but it did such a good job of supporting the experience. And it does look really good too.
Yeah. Yeah. The, like, one that comes to mind is when, your character first goes into, the fish and chips shop while it's being, while it's under maintenance, and the guy that's supposed to be fixing the fryer is underneath it, just trying to work on it. And you crawl into the opening where he's in there already, and your character is just walking on his belly like an ant.
Yeah, and, that's what I was thinking of.
Like, he starts talking to you, and he's like, "Hey, like, I've lost my screwdriver now. Like, go find it. Come on." And like, also, your character doesn't talk. Like, there is no voiced performance by this character at all. Yet everybody addresses you and says, like, "Oh, thank goodness you're here." And like, that's like the whole premise of the game and why it's called this. So, it was just a particular style that fit really well with the humor they were going for, because there was a lot of physical comedy in this game, and it works really well.
Yeah, I caught on to the cartoon right away, actually. Like, as soon as I was playing, my first trophy I popped was the lawnmower trophy, and right after that...
Yes!
I love you.
If this was a cartoon, I would watch this, right? So I knew right away that I caught on to that.
Perfect middle school. Well, there's some pretty dirty stuff in there, if you know what you're looking for.
No. Like, if you know what you're seeing, or you understand what's going on, there is awful stuff in here. This is why the game is rated M for mature. There's occasional curse words here, and yes, it is a cartoon, I know, but you actually do see some full frontal nudity in this game, and it's part of a gag. It is. But still, it's like, okay, well, now I'm second guessing myself. I shouldn't send this to some people.
12 and older is what I say. 12 years old and older, right?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And this is a good time to bring in the first of Brady's questions. In a game brimming with gags, which were your favorites?
Yeah, sort of like the structure of the game is really small, right? Like, you're in this town, and there's really only like maybe five or six areas, and you traverse them multiple times, kind of in a loop over and over again. And what I really liked was a lot of the jokes that kind of like build on each other. That was such like a British thing, right? Like, you'll see sort of a gag, and the first time it's just sort of like a little bit funny, and then you come back through and like, oh my God, they're still going, and they're just doing something more and more ridiculous and pushing it further and further. But a few that I'll point out, the guy that was pushing the sausages.
What is up with this guy?
what was going on with that guy?
He had like one of the most proper accents too, or most high class accents. as you would think, like in terms of British humor. Oh, hello, I've got a sausage for you. It's coming through the hole. Here's another.
I agree. Yes. Oh, I've dropped it. yeah. Right. So he just keeps going back for more sausages. Like he has to go inside to get sausages. And then the next time he has to go to the store to get sausages. And I don't know what his, I didn't feel like that was ever explained, but that was like part of the funniness of it.
No, no. And like you never get to the store to see him trying to buy sausages. The store is closed by the time you get around to that loop.
Yeah.
But his last one I remember was just like he said, "Well, little piggy, I think you've had enough."
Yeah. Yeah. He was done with what he was doing. On a similar note, the like multiple times you have to climb up on this roof and then get shoved down this guy's chimney, or like a chimney, like a cockney chimney sweep. And you crash down into this living room and there's like a boomer aged Yorkshire man. They're just like very quietly like reading the newspaper, and he's got like the grandfather clock going. So it's just like the only sound is the clock, and he's got maybe a radio going. It's just a peaceful afternoon for this guy.
He's got listening to music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just crash down his fireplace and just spread like ash all over his living room and kind of ruin his day. The first time he's just like, very understanding. He's like, "Oh, what are you doing here? Like, you know, take some scrambled bread on your way out." You know, he's being very hospitable and proper and British. And then you keep coming back here as he's like cleaning it up and like re-spreading the ash out everywhere. And he just keeps getting like more and more just like silently furious and aggrieved.
Yeah. Well, at first he's like, "Oh, you got me again, you wee man, you." Oh,
Yeah. And eventually he does like the.
Then he almost gets like sad.
Yeah, I think the last time he starts like sobbing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, like that scene where it's like your fourth time through the chimney, and you have him like he's cleaning up all the ash again. He's just finished, and it cuts to a different angle than you're used to seeing in that room. And now he's like walking around straightening some pictures. Yeah. He goes and gets a cup of tea, but he still looks anxious. And every once in a while, he glances it over at the fireplace. Right. And where the camera is like filming now from, like you never see this angle except for this time. And so he's like minding his own business for like minutes on end. And then as he's just sitting there, he finally picks up the paper and starts to read again. But you can tell he's really anxious about it. And then poof, like you come out of the chimney and faceplant right onto the carpet again. Ash goes everywhere. And this is the part that kind of makes me a little sad, because he puts the paper down and then starts to cry. And I was just like, okay, like this is funny, but I feel bad.
Yes. I read a review of this game from The Guardian by Keith Stewart. And he was talking about sort of like the style of British humor. And he said something, quote, like the nature of the British humor that they're using. It says, "The game carries a quiet undertone of unease and desperation." And then he's talking about some of the characters, and he says they're trapped in their own quiet hell. So that's sort of like the humor, is like seeing these people that are in anguish, but they have to be like, "Oh, stiff upper lip and can't show my emotion," you know? So that's where a lot of like the humor comes from, I think, is like the tension there.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, what are some of your favorites?
So, I mean, you nailed it on the head with the going through the chimney. That was my favorite. There was a couple other subtle ones, though, right? So the locksmith, right, going into the bar. And he's pretty vocal at first, you know, telling his story. And then you get the keys from him and slams a few beers right off the bat. Every time you go back to the pub, he says less and less, but he acts more wasted. And it's like in the same day.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just, that's what he does. He goes to the pub every morning and he just stays there till he can stumble his way home. So I thought that was hilarious. And then the tiny pie man going through the gutters, right? And his daughter brings a guy home and it sounds like a new boyfriend, right? And everything goes well at first until he accidentally says, "Oh,
how about a lager, son? Like, oh, yes, I'll have a lager. You're a fine lad then. All right.
Yeah. Go on,
he makes a comment about the size of the pies, and it goes downhill from there. And I lost it because it was his best friend for a second, and then it was his worst enemy right after that.
What's hilarious is that, like, you're not seeing any of this happen. You're just hearing it because your character is stuck in the drain pipe right outside the window. And so you don't ever see this play out. You just get these stories playing out as you're moving through the world. And that's something that I love about storytelling in games, where you have to stop and watch what other characters are doing, because the developers have engineered this kind of thing for you to observe as you're playing and going about your business in the game. And this was one where, like, I had to stop and I was just like, oh my God. And I laughed out loud when he says, like, well, you know, the pies are usually big enough. And then the dad just slams his fist on the table and just like, big enough, big enough. No daughter of mine's going to date a big pie, man. We're a tiny pie house. So that you nailed, like, that was one of my favorite gags in the whole thing, because I didn't understand that there would be this war between big pies and tiny pies going on in the town. And after I saw that particular scene, I started to notice the posters around town that say, like, you know, tiny pies, Tiny Tom's tiny pies, yay, or Big Ron's big pies.
Hiya, Mom. Hi, Dad. This is Jack. He's got a job.
I'll do.
Hi there, Mr. and Mrs. Bingy. Very nice to meet you both.
Now then, Jack, how about a lager beer?
Ah, go on then.
Hey, I like him already.
Wow, Mrs. Bingy, this is delicious. I've never had pie and swede before.
Thank you, Jackalus.
Well, what do you normally have with your pie at home, lad?
Well, usually the pie is big enough on its own.
Big enough?
Oh, look, please, don't make a fuss.
Big enough? No, love, I won't have it. Not under my roof, not on my dinner table.
Love, please.
I really didn't mean anything by it.
You shut your mouth!
Oh, damn!
And you can shut it and all. No daughter of mine is going with a big pie, man.
Unfortunately, I feel like Tiny Tom gets the short end of the stick as far as storytelling goes, because he only has like two scenes and your character never really interacts with him. You interact with Big Ron and help him with his shop, but Tiny Tom's tiny pies, just you don't see those aside from the commercial at the beginning of the game and the scene where he's watching the commercial of Big Ron's pies, and you hear his wife, like, his eye starts to twitch, and then you hear his wife say, "Love, why don't you just consider making the pies a little bit bigger?"
Yeah.
And when when his eye twitches, like, that was another moment where I was like, I laughed really hard and got my wife to come into the room being like, "What the hell?" And I was just like, no, like, this is great. This is hilarious. So,
that one
was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Was it a pie war, or was it just the tiny pie guys just letting the big pie guys live rent free in their heads?
That, because, like, very much like that could be possible. However, I don't think it's Tiny Tom that is having the daughter's boyfriend over for dinner. I think it's somebody else.
Yeah, it was like a different family. So there's like tiny pie people, but they all are just like psychologically damaged by all the big pies going on. But Big Ron doesn't seem to care at all.
No, he doesn't. No. Like a one side. Big Ron, right? Like,
he's more concerned about putting another man's meat in his pies.
Yeah.
He's also concerned about making the biggest pie possible, and you help him do that. And that gag was really funny. Also, like, he doesn't like really have any interest in pies once he finds out that two of his coworkers, or two of like the workers in his shop, are starting to fall in love. And so he just sits back and he's like, "Ah, young love. All right." And he doesn't care that the oven is on fire at this point in the shop.
Yeah, he doesn't. He does not care at all.
No,
it works out for him too.
Okay. Also, you know, Brady did ask, which side of the pie war are you on? Of those two characters, like, do you side with Ron or Tiny Tom?
Oh, Ron, for sure. I mean,
yeah,
the bigger the better, right? This is America. Oh,
I'm a big pie man myself. I like the idea of these giant pies that Ron is selling, and it's like, you know, give your wife the big pies. Give him Ron's big pie.
Yeah, I'll have to be Pie Switzerland. I'm sure they're both good. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, what's wrong with the little hand pie that you could just eat in it's a mouthful? I'm sure those are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, Brady had asked, do you have any favorite characters? Any particulars?
Yeah, I think I started writing them down and I just had to stop because there's so many that are so really, really good.
Yeah.
You mentioned the young coworkers. For some reason, young Colin really stuck with me. I just like loved him. he's just sort of like a teenage.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, like employee in some of the stores, you know, and he's just hapless. And he keeps saying his mom's got him taking mercury or or Pepto-Bismol or something. And he's always messing things up.
that first moment where you see him working in the butter shop and he's mopping the floor, but he's mopping it with the wrong end.
He's upside down.
And,
you're the most work shy fop I've ever had the misfortune to employ.
His boss yells at him and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, my mom's got me back on the mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved him. And then also shout out, I loved Ronnie, but I'll leave that one for
K69.
Yeah. And then I'll also shout out Herbert the Gardener, who is voiced by Matt Berry.
Yeah,
who's a British actor who's just really, really funny. He's from the IT crowd, and he's in the TV version of What We Do in the Shadows.
He was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I don't think that's I don't think he's a Yorkshire voice, but he's just a really good presence in the game.
Yeah, he got them some star power for the game for some notoriety and get some attention. But he really just he stands out as a hilarious character because of how much of a contrast his voice is compared to everybody else's. And then he still brings that slapstick humor to the game where like your first introduction to him is he's trying to water the garden and like there's no water coming out of the hose, so he's sucking on the hose to try and siphon the water out, and it's just that the faucet hasn't been turned on, but he's just like doing ridiculous things, and it's not like he's dim-witted or anything. He's just like part of the humor, part of the way this world works. And then when you come back to him a second time to turn the water on, he's shoved the hose into his trousers and just for like safekeeping. And then when you turn the water on, it wets his pants and it waters the garden. And he looks down at the damp garden and his damp pants. He's like, well, I guess we didn't need the hose on after all.
Yeah, he's great. He just keeps popping up at different points around the town.
Yeah.
And he's just a hilarious presence.
Yeah, so I loved Herbert. And then, Kyle, were there any other characters that you wanted to shout out?
The Pickle Sisters were hilarious, right?
Oh, God.
Into the price shed, right?
And, Carrie and Florence. And Florence is in love with Colin. And they start a relationship together over the course of the game. But Carrie, her older sister, is mean. And
oh, it just rips her apart. Every time you go back into the store, just rips her apart with no joke. It's great.
Yeah, and she's just got like the full braces or whatever.
Yeah,
she's got some kind of dental situation going on where she's just like,
they both do it, and you can barely understand them. Yeah. So like this was like one of my favorite games to just like sit back and listen to characters talk. So. I loved just like hearing them like address your character and like talk to about what's going on in the area, or just like say that you know, this is what they like to do today and they're looking forward to going home at night and putting together a puzzle, and that's all. Or like there would occasionally be like when you're going through the sewer, there'd be a worm that'd pop out of the dirt and would start telling you worm facts. And of course, they're nonsense and they're not true. But he would just be saying like, well, another interesting thing about worms is that work is hard for us. We either eat dirt or crawling through keyholes at night looking for pennies.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of inanimate objects that are like, oh, it's just tough to be me. Like, I'm a potato. Yeah. There we are, 42 a bed. 42 a bed. The best we can hope for is to be chopped up and fried.
Yeah, yeah. And they have this conversation while you are the knife in the background chopping the potatoes, and it gets closer and closer and closer. And that's another like moment of the anxiousness in the humor that you can see where like the characters aren't anxious. The same with the daisies and the lawnmower. Like you can see your character pushing the lawnmower around in the background, knowing that eventually it's going to like run over the daisy, but still like just the player themselves feeling this anxiety coming of like, oh no, they're going to get cut or something. So yeah, the inanimate objects just talking is really funny and very off the wall and off-putting, I think.
Yeah, along with that, the fish that had the cigarettes in their mouth, right? That was that fish, you had to punch them, and then they came alive, but they were all smoking cigarettes. I thought that was great.
Wait a second. I didn't ever see any of the fish come alive smoking cigarettes. Well,
they like popped up. I guess you're right. They didn't come alive, but they jumped out of the ice or whatever you had to do to get that trophy, and then they all had cigarettes in their mouth.
Yeah, you like there's a fish market that is selling cigarettes and fish, and the cigarettes are in the mouths of the fish, and it is like another one of those wacky things that is just really weird.
Yeah, just the idea of like a combined cigarettes and fish store, and then people are like, "Well, I used to go to fishes, but my doctor said all that fish was going to give me gout," you know?
So yeah, yeah,
the health risk is from the fish.
Yeah. And going back to the sisters, like that just like gives me flashbacks to my childhood where like my siblings, we would like bully each other. And I feel bad about that now, but like we would bully each other and play mean jokes on each other and then start yelling at each other and like, you're a bitch, like that kind of thing happening. So that again, like it feels so real and I love it. But
I'm sure one more character, I can't remember his name, but the mechanic, just because he's like the Scotsman in town.
Oh, yeah.
And, he just reminded me.
Yeah.
Do you have his name?
Oh, I'm trying to remember it. But like I played the game like an hour ago. I played through the whole thing an hour ago and I didn't think to write down any of the names.
Yeah. Yeah. But he just reminded me so much of Mike Myers's version of his own dad from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes.
Most hilarious representation.
Yes.
Any ethnic grandpa dad ever. So.
Jasper. It was Jasper, yes.
Yeah.
Jasper.
Yeah. And he reminded me of Willie from The Simpsons, of course, because like Willie is Scotsman. Yeah.
Yep.
But
for sure.
But yeah, he was one of those hilarious, like very prominent characters because he would give you like four different things to do over the course of the game. And he would ask you to go find his tools. And because he was working on the fryer in the fish shop, and it was like, it was busted. And then he'd realize he was missing a hammer or a wrench. And then you'd go find it. And when you found it, you wouldn't have to bring it back to him. He would just pop up and say, ah, there it is. And then he'd yell at the person for stealing it.
And he accuses them of stealing it, but it's so obvious he just lost them, right? And they were next to the person that he
accused
of stealing. Yeah.
Right. Like when he's it's either Florence or Carrie in the Price Shaggers.
Right, or the bottom of the lake.
They're
right?
Weird one, Jasper. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it'll work this time, Jasper? Oh, dear.
Ugh, it's no use, Marge. I don't think this thing's worked in quite a while. How have you been cooking fish and chips all this time?
Oh, I just do a cold fry, usually. Whoa.
Hang on a wee minute. Where's my blinking spanner? Oh, don't tell me it's been pinched again. It'll be that senile old fishmonger Bish down at the market. You better get down there and find it, or it'll be cold chips till the cows come home. Now then, Marge, about my payment.
Oh, well, it looks like there's no money until...
No, no, I'm not doing it like that again. I didn't walk right for a week last time, and that vinegar smell's only just washed out.
Suit yourself.
Were there any points where you got stuck in the game?
Yes.
Yeah, so, I will admit. No. Oh, Kyle, you go first.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, I got... the whole reason I brought up the sisters was because I don't remember exactly what point it was that I got stuck, right? But I kept going back into the market because I didn't jump over. It was when the hand from the sick kid was going onto the roof. And I didn't jump over that thing at the end of the market. Whatever that on the shelf, you could jump over it and go out the back door.
Oh, yeah.
So I kept going up to the roof and then falling back down where the rats fell down and then out the door and then back in and then a new joke from the sisters. And I was like, all right, well, at least I'm getting new jokes out of this, right? So that was the only part I got stuck. And I mean, stuck for like 10 minutes. It wasn't really
stuck, right?
Yeah, I got a little stuck in Price Shaggers 2, the first time you go up to the Mice Shaggers version.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't remember if at that point in the game you had ever had to like jump up and down on something 3 times to get it to fall through, or if that was the first time. So I was just walking around in that mice version of the supermarket slapping everything forever before I figured out if you jump up and down enough, you'll fall through the ceiling.
Yeah. There was a moment too where I got stuck in that scene as well, but it wasn't that particular. It was just that I couldn't figure out how to jump over the hole to then get to the secret chapel that housed all the cheese for the mice. Because like the mice had built some sort of church about cheese, and then you had to push the cheese wheel out of the church to get one of the mice to open the door. But I just couldn't figure out how to get over that. There was also the scene closer to the end where you have to find a way to get milk to this kid that has brewed some tea. And this was like one of the funniest like introductions of a character that I thought of that I found, because your character jumps through this kid's window and he's crying and says something akin to, I brewed some tea, but it's as black in it as a bin bag. I want to add milk, but I don't have any, and I could go get some, but I'm milk shy. And I was like, what in the hell is this? What does that mean? But then you go find, like, you have to figure out how to get the cow to produce milk, and the farmer says that she needs chips from the fish and chips shop, and I couldn't figure out how to get back there to actually get the bag of chips to her. But eventually I did, and I was stuck for what, 10 minutes, and then figured out like, oh, you got to loop around the entire town again, because each of these scenes is gated by a one-way door and in some form, and you have to just loop around the entire town to get back to where you're trying to go. And the fish and chip shop is like the one right before this, the where the cow is. And so you have to just cycle through the town again and see all these new jokes and like hear what other characters have to say, drop through the chimney again and upset the guy. But eventually you get back there. And that whole scene with milking the cow was one of the two like really weird acid trip kind of things. I have to ask you guys, what did you think about this weird cow milking scene where you feed her the chips and then her pupils dilate out like it's Requiem for a Dream, and then like she has like a vision where the farmer, her, and somebody else are in a hot tub full of milk and they're talking. It's so so weird.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think I blacked out during that part or something. I played through the game like a couple, maybe close to 2 weeks ago, and then to kind of refresh myself, I found a YouTube playthrough that was like a Yorkshireman and a Londoner played like streamed through the game. So, but I didn't quite make it back up to that part. I'm really close to it, but it was just like psychedelic and weirdly sexual.
Yeah, and then, you know, when the milk actually releases from the cow, it fires off in a giant stream, breaks the wall from the kid's house, and pins him up against the next wall of the next building. And the policeman that is around the area sees this, and he's like, "Oh God, no!" And the kid is like shaking his head, like, "Yes, yes." Very odd.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was the cow having the fantasy or the farmer having the fantasy, because they were in that hot tub and they were stroking some udders there for sure.
Everyone was getting what they wanted out of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Everyone got off there.
That was another one of those moments where Carrie, my wife, just ended up walking through the room right as you're starting to milk the cow. And she looks at it and just shakes her head and walks away. And I was like, I just said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. So, again, like that was another one of my favorite gags, because it just got so weird. And I love the game's humor, but it gets really weird sometimes. And that's very funny. I feel like in a different way. Same thing with like the weird acid trip meat thing that you have to do when you're like getting the meat for Big Ron's pies, and the meat starts to talk to you, and it talks to you as a meat character. And anything else that you guys want to call out regarding humor or gags in the game? Any special moments at all?
So a couple things, subtle things as well, right? So when you go into that first store after you get the locksmith, I forget what it was called because you only go into that store once. You walk into the freezer.
It's Meg's Buttery.
Yes.
It's like Meg's Buttery, like
biscuits or something.
Biscuits or buttery products and stuff.
Yeah. So you walk into the freezer and the temperature says 38 degrees Celsius, which is like 95 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's yeah. to be a freezer. So don't eat that butter. Whatever you guys are doing, don't eat that. And then when you're pushing the cans off in the supermarket for the sick kid, right? And you get to the breakfast plate. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, only 40 years expired." And it says 1940. So to me, that means the game takes place in 1980. So it was a funny joke, but it was also kind of interesting to know when the game takes place.
I noticed that this game does feel pretty timeless. Like there isn't anything really dating it as far as like the set pieces go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a sharp observation, because like, again, going back to the footage from the beginning of the game where like, it looks kind of like what we think of as like the 60s or 70s. Like, I bet that was Barnsley in 1980. Like,
sure. Yeah.
It's a little bit stuff. Yeah. A little traditional, a little conservative. You know.
Yeah. I also have to ask you guys about the musical number at the end of the game. Like, this is one that I was just like, okay, this is really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it peaked Monty Python.
Yeah, that was the only point where I was like, please let this be over. Yeah, I think they were like punishing the audience or the player a little bit there. just to see what they could take.
Yeah. Also, we have to talk about the whole point of the game was to try and see the mayor of Barnsworth. Now, the game starts with you in the mayor's office waiting to see him, and his receptionist tells you, "Sorry, he's got a busy schedule today, but you'll have to come back and see if you can see him later. And it should take a couple hours to clear his schedule." You can just sit there and not do anything, and after about 15 minutes, he will come out of the office and say, "Oh, I've cleared my schedule. You want to come in and talk?" And that's it.
And you pop a trophy for that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Trophy for it.
The credits roll and you're done.
That's a playthrough. Yeah.
It's also referred to as a secret ending. And I love it when games do that, where like they give you an alternative to just roll the credits like in the first 10 minutes of the game.
For sure. Like, you didn't have to do any of this.
No. And the reason, like what the response that you get from the mayor, once you do finally see him, is his response is just like, "Oh, I need some mustard and I need you to go find it." And so it just starts again, where like they're asking you to do stuff. And the credits roll, and it's like, oh, there they go again.
Yeah, it's never really clear, like, even what you're doing meeting the mayor, right? Like, your boss says, like, Barnsley or Barnsworth, like, it's a strange place, but they need what we're selling. It's like, what?
What is it? Like,
yeah, what?
Yeah. Did you notice that your boss's hair is taped on? Like it has a piece of scotch tape on his head?
And he jumps out the window. That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The door was right there.
Good God, man. Yeah. What are you doing?
And they call the water that comes out of the water dispenser, they call it the leaded, which I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there lead in the water? We don't know.
Bobby, you old chew stick. You nearly scared me soft. What can I do you for?
Sorry to bother you, Herbert, but there's been reports of crime in the area.
Shit!
That's right. Have you seen this criminal at all?
Hang on a minute. That's no criminal. That's the honest businessman who sold me this brand new watering can.
I'm afraid that's no businessman. That's bootleg Bill. And that's no watering can. That's a watering can't.
Bugger me. I paid 10 bob sterling for that.
It happens to the best of us, Herbert. Just last week, he swindled my wife with a wet dream catcher. So keep your eyes peeled, your head on a swivel, and a Johnny on your button. And I'll need to take this down to the station.
Good grief, this town is going to the dogs. You better keep an eye out, lad.
After all of this, after this wild, like, very non-linear discussion, I want to ask either one of you, like, Kyle, we'll start with you. Who do you think should play Thank Goodness You're Here? How would you recommend this game?
So first thing, right, we're trophy hunters, so I'm going to go ahead and say trophy hunters should play this game. This is a great game to play after a grind or when you're feeling down about trophy hunting because it'll just pick you right back up. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
The trophies are easy. Look, don't get intimidated by the guide. There's a lot of missable trophies, but just think about it. You could press X to jump. You could press square to punch, and you could use the left stick to move. So just go punch everything, and you'll finish your first playthrough with 90% of the trophies easily, right? I left my first playthrough without looking at a guide. I only had 6 trophies left.
Yeah.
Real easy to do that. And then when you start the game, they have a really good – it's the Marrow Song, right? Match that energy going into the game, and then you're going to think this game is hilarious. If you're not matching that song, if you're not matching that energy, just come back to it when you are, and you're going to love the game. So that's who you should play.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as like missables go, like anything missable in the game, don't worry about it because it took me about an hour and a half to play through again this afternoon. So it's the equivalent of sitting down and watching a movie. And the second time through, I found things that I didn't know existed this time. Like, there is one character that, like, if you go back to Meg's Butter Shop and listen to stuff that they're talking about, she's talking about things that other characters are experiencing when they interact with you. She says that, like, well, like, John is, he's just starting to lose it. He's talking about a small yellow man that is, like, coming down his chimney. And it's like, oh, my God, no. Like, what am I doing to this man now? Like, making him sound insane. Ben, like, how would you recommend this game?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Like, as in terms of a trophy hunting game, it's a really easy recommend. It's fun. Trophy list is like a tiny bit fussy with the missables. I mean, I'll say that I looked at a guide just to like prep myself for it, and then I didn't really need it going through the game at all. I did a platinum run in one run. But I think just anyone that appreciates like humor and doesn't mind playing a game where like it's not really about the gameplay, you know, it's not a shooter, it doesn't really take any skill or strategy or anything. It's just about the experience. So if you're open to that, I think anyone could enjoy it.
It's not really about it's not about your skills or anything. It's also not really about solving puzzles here because there aren't really any hard puzzles to solve. So like I could easily convince Colin, if you're listening, play this game. It's hilarious.
Yeah, square to punch and you'll solve all the puzzles, right?
Yeah, just keep trying.
So what's it all about then?
Well, it follows the interpersonal dramas of the street's inhabitants.
all of their affairs and betrayals and whatnot. It's very compelling. Not like this shit.
Are there any books or movies that you feel like encapsulate this kind of humor really well?
I'll do the easy one, right? The South Park, right? South Park is, I mean, that's the closest thing. I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV, don't watch a lot of movies, but South Park's the closest thing to this humor. This is funnier than South Park because it's not as like direct. It's more like creative funny. But it got the same laughs out of me that South Park gets.
Yeah, it's also not as crass as South Park, I feel like, where it is, it tries to be a bit more creative in that regard, where it's kind of like, you know, there are some sex jokes in here. There are, there is some cursing that pops up occasionally, but it really goes for vibes over just being like shocking as far as comedy goes.
Yeah. Well, I just think it is more subtle than like American humor. That's just sort of the nature of it. Like watching, the stream I watched with the guy that's from Yorkshire, they're commenting on a lot of the things that I never would have noticed, you know, like the pub is called the Thumb It In, which is like a British slang for a sexual maneuver. Apparently. So like, there's a lot of stuff like that. It's just, it's okay. Got that sort of classy. It's a classed up a little bit, right?
The sign has the chalkboard sign outside says today's special drinks.
Drinks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That same Guardian article that I read through earlier, they were talking like the two guys that made it, they're referencing some UK humor stuff that influenced them, which I've never heard of. The one was called Reeves and Mortimer, and then the other one was called The Mighty Boosh. And when I looked up The Mighty Boosh, it has Noel Fielding, who was also in the IT Crowd.
Yeah.
And he's, I think, best known for The Great British Bake Off, being one of the hosts of that.
I loved him as a host.
Yeah, like a long tradition of that style of British humor. In terms of games, the only other one I could really think of was maybe like Fable. Sort of that style of humor.
Yeah, I had a really hard time thinking of other games that have this kind of humor. And I didn't play Fable, so I don't really know. But yeah, good call out. We talked about this earlier, but this very much feels like Monty Python. So... sorry, Kyle, was there anything that you want to recommend?
With the game, you were going to the Monty Python. I was going to the Untitled Goose Game, right? They were made by published.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. The same team.
Also published by Panic. Also a great episode for us to like cover the Goose Game that we aired last year. So go listen to that episode after you've played Goose Game. But that was one of my favorite games that I played last year.
Yeah, if you liked Goose Game, you're gonna like this. I mean, it's they're not really that similar, but you could tell that they have some same vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. Where you're just running around town, causing trouble, and trying to figure stuff out. Now, either one of you, do either one of you like the Monty Python movies and sketches? And if so, what are some of your favorites?
I will say I'm not a Monty Python like super fan. Like I have seen some of it, but it's been quite a while. On that stream that I was mentioning, the guy from Yorkshire, when he was watching that scene that we were talking about earlier, where you're chopping up the potatoes and they're kind of like complaining about how much their life sucks. It's like, oh, this is definitely just like straight up a Monty Python sketch of like about Yorkshiremen and like, And they're basically like doing the version of like, well, when I was young, we lived in a tiny house and it was 10 to the bed and we had to work in the coal mine and then our dad would beat us with a belt. And then the next guy's like, oh, you're lucky. You were living in luxury because we had to live in the street and we had to clean the street with our tongues. And then our dad killed us and danced on our graves, you know, like this sort of very like specific style of humor where you're complaining about how hard you have it and just kind of one-upping everyone else.
Yeah. Kyle, you told me before we started recording, you've been watching a lot of Monty Python. What have been some highlights?
So the one that sticks out, right, because I read the show notes and I didn't think I was familiar with Monty Python before I started looking some clips up on YouTube and then realizing there was some stuff on Peacock that you could watch in its entirety. the Black Knight, right? So you're fighting the Black Knight, and you just cut off his arm, and then you cut off his legs, and he's still trying to fight you, and he's just like, "Oh, we'll just call it a draw." As you're just,
walking. I'll call it a draw.
Yeah, we'll just call it a draw. That was kind of what resonated with me for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my favorites, and like this is like this particular style of humor made me think of a few clips from And Now for Something Completely Different, and they go through like why, like what makes a good hiding spot when you're playing hide and seek, and like they show examples, and then they also like start blowing up the hiding spots with like explosives. And they say like, well, here's an example of a very good hiding spot, but it's pretty obvious that this is the only one. So we are going to take care of that. But other ones are especially the Ministry of Silly Walks definitely has the same kind of vibe where it is just something that exists in a different universe and it makes sense there. It is nonsense to us, but I absolutely loved it, and it has that same kind of humor where the characters in this scene are completely serious about what they're doing and what they're talking about. And if you haven't seen this, go look it up on YouTube or find it on Peacock somewhere. I don't remember if it's one of the sketches that exists in Now for Something Completely Different, but it is somewhere in the Monty Python library. So try to find that because it is my favorite. And other great scenes from the Holy Grail, of course, like the very first scene in the Holy Grail where they ride over the ridge on make-believe horses. And it's really just two guys. And one of them is carrying coconuts and banging them together.
Yes.
So I really do love that. That style of humor and Monty Python and the Holy Grail, like one of my favorite movies from when I was in high school. And I would have loved this game had I been able to play it when I was in high school. So highly recommend this game to anyone that loves Monty Python's style of humor. But other recommendations, Kyle, I'll ask you first. Are there any other games that you're playing right now you'd want to recommend? What's really good?
Yeah, I play one game at a time, right? So I'm playing Epic Mickey Rebrush. Great game. Hits that Disney factor in a little bit of a different way, right? Because there is a lot of references to the Disney theme parks in Rebrush. So if you've been to Disney World, Disneyland, probably those are the two I've been to, right? Probably any of the Disney theme parks. This game will hit with you because it has a lot of throwbacks to that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember. Is it just a single-player game, or is there like a co-op option to that?
The first one, I'm just looking at the trophy, guys. The first one is a single-player game. I think the Epic Mickey 2 has a co-op option.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, Ben, how about you? What's good lately?
I usually keep two games going at a time. One on the Portal, that's kind of more casual. So,
yeah,
that one I'm playing through the Puzzle Quest Immortal Edition, which is like the remaster of Puzzle Quest that I'm playing for who knows how many times. I'm playing on like the Xbox 360 and the DS and stuff, but it's just a classic. So,
man, Puzzle Quest, what a game to throw back to 2006. So oh man,
yeah, it's so old but so good. Yeah, it's the same thing. That I probably played through like three or four times already over the years, but
yeah,
it's got all the DLC and everything for the year, so it's massive. Like I think I'm 30 hours into it or something, and I'm not even more than halfway through the campaign.
Yeah,
with all the side content and stuff. But that, and then actually, I guess relevant for PlayStation Plus extra people is I'm playing through Control Ultimate Edition, which. It's awesome. It's so good. Like after I played Alan Wake 2, that kind of bumped that up my backlog list because I've had it on my backlog since like 2019. But the version on PS Plus has like all the DLC. It's enhanced, I guess, for PS5 and PS5 Pro. So it just has like PSSR and 4K and HDR. It just looks beautiful. And it's just that trademark Remedy awesome weirdness, but it's also just a really like kinetic, fun action game.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you partway through it right now?
I'm getting close to the end of the campaign. There's still like a lot of side stuff to do, but I'm like 8 out of 10. It's pretty short in terms of like how many main missions there are. There's only 10.
Yeah. I got just two words for you though. Take control.
I don't think I've gotten to that part yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Like it is the best part of the game. And I don't think it was spoiled for me, but, and that is, that phrase is not a spoiler in itself. So don't worry.
You
but
know
like it,
with the rim of the game that some super weird out of left field stuff is going to happen. So
yeah, but like that particular sequence was just like, oh, this is why this game is so good. Like hell, like the game was good to start with, but man, like they knocked out of the park with like what's happening now. So I can't wait to see you post about that sequence, but you'll know it when you get to it. Control, such a good game. It's so good. I'm very excited for the sequel that's coming up. And I actually played through Alan Wake, the first one, earlier this year. It was, or like late last year. Yeah. Cause it's now January and almost February, but like Remedy, they know what they're doing. And so I'm so excited for what they're doing next.
Yeah, Control Resonant. That's why I'm playing this one now, finally, too.
Cool. I've got just one recommendation, and that's for next month. So next month, we are going to be talking about Grease, spelled G-R-I-S. And I've heard it pronounced but like the developers, I'm pretty sure, pronounce it Grease, G-R-I-S. And it is a very artistic platformer with some abstract themes to it. So it's going to be a very interesting episode. Big change of tone from Thank Goodness You're Here, folks.
Hilarious game.
I hope you enjoy it. This one's much more artistic and not quite as humorous. It's very interesting, though. I have already played through it once, and I really enjoyed it. So we're going to be talking about that. Either one of you guys play Grease at all?
Yes, I do have the platinum in it.
Nice.
Played through it last year. Yeah.
No, yeah.
How about you, Kyle?
I have not played that one yet. I'll take a look at it though. We'll see if I go for it.
Yeah. It's from, I think it was from the makers of Planet of Lana, and I didn't play that one, but this one, like I was looking for something that I could like just get into as far as a vibe goes. I didn't want like a big story. I wanted to just sit back and see some interesting things. And this one definitely had that. So, very much looking forward to that.
Whiplash from Thank Goodness You're Here, but it's very beautiful and explores some like very different themes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank both of you guys for joining me for just a bit to talk about Thank Goodness You're Here. If you guys want to call out any sort of social channels where you want people to follow you, where can people find you? Ben, how about you first?
Pretty much just on the Discord at FoRambo on the Trophy Talk Discord. Other than that, I don't really mess around with social media.
No, that's good. That's a very healthy thing. I've started to wean myself off of it as well. And Kyle, how about you?
I'm the same way. Just hit me up on the Discord, Trophy Talk Discord, KingK6969. I do not go on any other social media.
Yes, and that is a very healthy thing these days, I feel like. If you do want to find me, though, I am at the Portland Kevin. I am almost always on Discord. I occasionally jump into Facebook, Instagram, or Blue Sky and look for messages or mentions, but it's like once every 3 months at this point for me. So if you want to get a hold of me, find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin. So thank you again, both of you guys, for being here and for playing through Thank Goodness You're Here. It was a hilarious game, and I can't remember which one of you suggested it first, but I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
And with that, everyone listening, I thank you also for listening. I hope you have a great day, and please remember to be excellent to each other.
Thanks. Bye. I miss my mom. Yum, yum, yum. I love the smashy baggy sound.
Don't be coy now. Stick around.
Eat the fish.
In the hole.
Eat the sea.
Crush the ball.
Crush the turtle.
Crush the bats.
Smuttery nose.
Fix the glass.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are, lovey. It should be ready for you now if you'd like to bob in.
Oh, thank goodness you're here. I'm just about to tuck into this delicious Amsani, and I've lost the mayoral mustard.
What a beauty! Oh, I've never seen one as big as that.